It's time once again for Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. Tonight's episode, The Fatuous Gas Bag.
Hey, Truth Seekers. I had just finished the broadcast and was relaxing at my desk, feet up, shot of Jack Black handy, when somebody knocked at the studio door. Pretty late for visitors, so I checked to see if my .38 was loaded and opened the door. He just stood there, a cheap-suited gunsel holding out a piece of paper. He didn't say a word. What sort of bizarre mind game was he trying to pull with that silent act? And then it struck me, we don't have the budget to hire another actor. Of course he doesn't have any lines. I took the paper from him and quickly read the scrawled message. It was from the fat man. He wanted to meet. There was a phone number I was to call. I told the punk to beat it. Without any lines, he could only manage a sneer, and he left. I went to the window, through the Venetian blinds, saw him get back into a black Hummer that sped off, listing pretty badly on the left. I thought Limbaugh must be doing his own driving these days. I called my contact down at the cop station and got the address that went with the phone number, a swanky hotel uptown. Limbaugh might want a meeting, but I prefer a surprise visit. I took a cab to the Biltmore and the elevator to the penthouse. I pushed the buzzer and was about to knock when she opened the door. I've seen her face and heard that voice on all the cable stations that pretend they have something to do with the news. And as long as Richard Mellon Scaife keeps buying her books by the ton, I guess she's a New York Times best-selling author. But I didn't expect to see Ann Coulter here.
Well, Mike Malloy, we meet again.
Just like in all your books, you got your facts wrong, and we've never met.
Stop talking over me, you godless commie, and come in already. There's someone here that wants to see you.
I walked in, and there on one of the biggest Lazy Boy recliners I've ever seen was the fat man himself. He was wearing the black suit he wore when he spoke at last February's CPAC conference. I don't think he changed out of it since, because there were food stains and crumbs all over it. He was holding a massive platter of chicken fingers and shoveling them into his mouth as fast as he could. His right sleeve was drenched in ranch dressing. Not a pretty sight.
We hear you're running low on funds these days, Malloy. Rush and I want to offer you a job.
Hey, in case you didn't notice, we work opposite sides of the street, sister. The cheap punk I'd seen earlier sidled up to Coulter like a Siamese cat.
That's what you say now, Malloy. But we thought you might change your tune when you see how much cash you could be raking in.
What's wrong with Limbaugh? Can he talk for himself?
If you'll ever let me get a word in edgewise, I'll tell you. Oddly enough, after the conference, Rush lost the ability to use the English language. Now all he does is gargle and bark into his microphone 3 hours a day. Strangely, his fans seem to enjoy it.
What makes you think I'd spend my airtime reading Republican talking points?
We're not so different, you and I.
Yeah, sure. You're a carbon-based life form, and so am I, but sister, that's where the similarity ends. I get my support from the people. For only $59.40 a year, about 25 cents a show, Truth Seekers nationwide are keeping me on the air.
The people. We're not supported by the people. We don't need the people. We've got corporations.
And I thought the people threw your guys out last November.
Stop your liberal yapping. Elections don't mean anything anymore, Malloy, or haven't you figured that out yet?
I was about to launch into a stirring description of grassroots democracy when the cheap gunsel snuck up behind and... Let me start right after, or haven't you figured that out yet? I was about to launch into a stirring description of grassroots democracy when the cheap gunsel snuck up behind and sapped me. A black hole opened in front of me. I dove in headfirst, wondering about Stephen Hawking's analysis of a naked singularity. But I had other things on my mind now, like unconsciousness. I came to on the floor of my studio. Slowly I got to my feet, and there was the fat man in his mall.
Nice little setup you've got here, Malloy. Too bad if something were to happen to it.
Is that a threat, Coulter?
If you're not going to just shut up and take the cash, you don't leave us any options. I could just crinkle this little piece of cellophane here next to the microphone and burn your whole operation down.
Drop the candy wrapper, sister, if you know it's good for you. Just then, Limbaugh reached for another candy bar. With both of them crumbling their wrappers, well, the sound effects would make this place go up in seconds. I grabbed his sleeve and yanked as hard as I could. The big black suit began to rip as Coulter screamed.
Rush! Oh, God! No! No! No!
Then I saw the most grotesque thing I've ever seen in my entire career. Rush's suit was the only thing keeping him in a vaguely human form. When the seams let go, Limbaugh spilled out onto the studio floor, a shapeless pool of protoplasmic goo. I called 911. The cops came and scooped Limbaugh up into a child's wading pool, a big one. Calder was led away, sobbing. I guess she actually had feelings for the big lug. I didn't want to think about what kind of feelings. I was a little queasy myself at that point. They still broadcast Limbaugh's program. An engineer suspends a microphone above the waiting pool. To catch every belch and gurgle. And if you believe Arbitron, his ratings are still up. Strange world. Somebody ought to sell tickets. I'd buy one. As long as there's a story, I'll follow it. That's my job. Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Be sure to tune in next time when Mike Malloy takes to the airwaves in Testimony of Evil.